Welcome to the Discipleship Leaders Podcast. This is Caleb Martin, and I'm here with Ryan Brown and Kelly Means. And we are recording this in early May, and we're going to talk about group formation. So what does it look like to add people to your group, conversations you might have with current people in your group, and also maybe people who don't know the Lord? What does that look like for that upcoming year? So we talk about group formation. We also, you might have heard us use the term selection in that. What do we mean when we say group formation, selection for forming our groups?
Yeah, so when we're thinking about group formation, it really is just a prayerful process of asking God who he would have us invest our lives in over the next year. And so we're kind of entering into a process over the course of several months. It's not something we want to do last minute. We want to make sure that the people that are joining groups and leaders have really thoughtfully and prayerfully invited people in, rather than just kind of letting a spreadsheet decide who goes where.
Awesome. I love that. I mean, I do like spreadsheets, and I know you do too, but bringing the Holy Spirit in, not that we have to ask him, he's at work, but when we are in tune with what he's doing, obviously that's a way we can be intentional about having him lead our groups. So when we think about this idea, is this something that we came up with here at Perimeter? Is it something that you, Ryan, thought of? Where do we get this idea of being intentional about? Because let me set this up a little bit. When we talk about small groups, oftentimes we just kind of have an open invitation and people join and they show up. But we are very intentional and thoughtful in actually who God would lead us to choose to be in our groups. And so, where does that come from?
Yeah, so I think ultimately we look at Jesus, who in his public ministry, you know, he probably spent the first 16 months or so with hundreds of people following him who are called disciples. But then, you know, after a period of time, he prayed and invited 12 specifically. Mark 3:14 says he called them that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And so the reality is Jesus was going to invest more deeply in those 12 than anyone else. And he was thoughtful and intentional and prayerful about that. In his book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, Robert Coleman does basically observations of what Jesus' ministry with the 12 looked like. And he calls kind of that phase of calling those 12 out from the larger group of disciples, he titles the chapter of that selection. And so we've used that term because it's been frequently used by people throughout the years when we talk about how do we invite people in and try to follow Jesus' model in that.
That's good. When we use a word like that, sometimes it can feel maybe exclusive. Just want to name that. When you say select, that means you have certain people that are going to be in and certain people that aren't. That's not at all our heart. Or obviously, Jesus was perfectly loving all the time and he did this. What does it look like? I mean, the idea of selection, we have limitations as people. We want to invest in a few. Can y'all talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so when we think about the word selection, you know, that's why we've been using the word group formation more often, because that's really what we're trying to do. But the reality is, if we want to have depth in relationship, we all have relational capacity. As leaders, each of you have a lot of relationships in your life, and you're asking a few people to join a group where you can all relationally go very deep. And so we have limits as people in our relational capacity, some greater than others, but we all have limits. And when you think about even small group dynamics as a whole, we want there to be trust and vulnerability, and group size over about 6 really begins to limit most people's ability to be vulnerable and honest, or even to have enough time to talk in the group setting with the amount of time that we have. So the main thing is, you know, what is the leader's capacity to invest well in people versus just trying to fill a group up? And so that's one of the things that we want to think about is our own capacity to invest deeply into people.
Yeah, I agree with Ryan in that. It's our leaders really, we want to set them up well to love and lead, but then we also want the people in the group to experience the depth, the vulnerability, so that the, when they lead one day, they're able to recreate that same environment for others. So I think we as staff are protecting and thinking for the whole ministry and for each people to have a great experience in that group. So I think it's really important for both sides of, you know, the people leading and the people in the group to have a smaller group setting to experience vulnerability, but to be a place they can be real and honest and share. And I think the bigger the group is, the less people are willing to share. So helping set that up well from the beginning.
Right. Yeah, we talk about the idea of 4 to 6 people kind of being a sweet spot. Some of that is group dynamics in that group time. Some of it's how much time do I have to spend with these people even outside the group. So one of the things that I'll do is say, okay, I might can have a lunch once a week or a connection or a phone call once a week with someone in my group. And so I'm going to have 4 people in the group. That's a month's worth of capacity for me. And so I'm just going to set that number that helps me create some limits and also ensures that I can invest the way that I feel like God's called me to in each person in the group. So we've got group formation in 2 ways. We got people who are coming back, or we think they're going to come back. They think we kind of do this dance. Are you coming back? Are you not coming back? What do the conversations look like for people who are already in the group? Let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about new people. So first, we hear this a lot, you know, hey, I'm making a 3-year commitment to discipleship. Not necessarily. So talk about maybe the commitment people are actually making, and then what does it look like to be intentional about that next year for those people?
I definitely think we're committing to 1 year at a time, and that's what I keep reminding people. We don't know what life has 3 years out, so we're going to commit 1 year at a time as we pray and just see what the Lord has. But I love, you know, starting in about March and April, starting to talk to your current group, you know, what is God calling you to in the fall? And I don't just let them say, yes, we're coming back, but I ask them to go back to their spouse, if they have one, and pray about, is God calling me to this group again? And then I usually want to ask them, why do you feel God's calling you back to this group for another year? And I love to hear they've grown and they want to keep growing. They want to keep seeing that transformation in their life. And then too, if the year gets hard, we go back to, but we committed this to the Lord and this is what God's called you to. How can I come alongside you and help you continue in what God's called you to? So I think it's important not just to assume we're all coming back, but to really give it to the Lord. And sometimes in that, I've seen people go, you know, as I've prayed about it, I've talked to my spouse, I really can't commit to this again. Or they say, yes, they want to commit, and they're super excited about another year to be in the group and what God's going to do. So I think it's important to really have them again pray about, is this where God is calling me to grow and to be committed to this group for another year?
And I think with that, we want to pay attention to the seasons of life that do change. You know, there might be somebody who has a lot coming this next year with life transition, whether it's a new child or bringing a child back into the home. It could be a job change. It could be a move. There's so many things that are potential. And so having the conversation each year can allow us to really think through, what is this next year, so far as we can tell, going to bring, and how does that affect what you most need to grow? And that's what we want people to be thinking about, is like, where will they grow in their walk with the Lord and conformity to Jesus the most? And if it's this group, then that's great. If it's not this group, then as a leader, I want to do everything that I can to help them get to the right places for their growth. And so it's not like we're doing this to vet people. We're coming alongside people just like we've been doing all year to help them get to a place where they can more and more reflect Jesus in the world and grow into his image. So similar to what Kelly does, I try to have a meal with each guy in my group and just kind of go in with no assumptions. Sometimes when I have no assumptions, they're a little surprised by that. And I say, what are you thinking for next year? And they're going, well, I was hoping to come back. I'm like, great, I was too. I just wanted to hear about it. I don't want to project my ideas onto you. And so it just opens up a conversation.
Yeah, that's good. And I liked the idea that you're a part of the corporate body of the church. The church is discipling you. God's discipling you through all kinds of means of grace of the church. And so we're talking about, particularly in this conversation, life on life missional discipleship, which is a particular descriptive of how we're doing that. It doesn't exclude the other means of discipleship in the church. So, yeah, we're not saying if you're not involved in this, you're not involved in the bigger, larger version of discipleship, but we want to invite people into this and then also help people into other things. I love that.
And another thought, too, is if people have not been committed throughout the year, it's a great conversation to have. If someone is not showing up, if they're not doing their work, this is a time to come back and really have that conversation with them. Is this the best place for you? And remember, if they opt out for the fall, to remember to help get them where they can grow in the Lord. Not just let them drop out, but say, hey, how can I help you find a place to grow this fall? Since this, you don't seem to have the time capacity for this in this season. Let me guide you to some other things in our church to stay connected. We don't want people to come out of discipleship and then feel alone or feel like they don't have the support, but how do we get them to a different place in the season they're in? And so, you know, as much as people are recommitting to be in a group, there's also people that maybe they're not their season. And so it's a great time to have those little bit harder conversations with people who haven't been as committed and see what's really going on with them.
Yeah.
And how you can support them in that.
Yeah, I can remember the first time someone was just intentional about asking me about my spiritual growth. And I'm like, that's really what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And we're not used to that oftentimes. We're used to being intentional about a retirement plan or mm-hmm. my business plan or my, you know, even, hey, where are we going to go on vacation this year? But planning spiritually, we're just not used to that. So that's what we're doing, is bringing that intentionality to that. Sometimes it shocks people, but when you're used, it's a paradigm shift and can really shift how you view your walk with God.
Can I add to that? And maybe this shifts our conversation a little bit as well, but, you know, as we kind of move into the summer months with our current group, people don't have kids in school, vacation more, and so we definitely want to slow down the intensity. You know, our curriculum only runs through the school year on purpose. I think it's good for people to have a little bit of a, you know, back off the gas pedal and not be in that kind of intense of a group environment all summer. But also, I do think intentionality is important through the summer. So thinking of ways, how do we stay connected, whether that's with people who are staying, people who are kind of launching out to whatever God's calling them to next, or bringing new people in. So you can kind of have some flux in the group through this time period. But something I did with my group this year that I've never done before is I just kind of came up with three questions for them to think through, for us to discuss before the summer begins for all them, is to kind of own their own walk with the Lord. I asked, what do you want your personal worship to look like over the summer? What do you want to focus on your personal growth in? So whether that's reading a book or thinking about a character quality or the fruit of the Spirit that they want to pray in their lives or something like that. And then the third thing is, what accountability do they want? And then how could our group help with that? So that's just something we're going to discuss before our last group, so that we have a way to kind of intentionally stay connected through the summer.
That's awesome. I love those.
My group picked a time in June and a time in July to connect and get together. And we're also, we kind of laid out studying Colossians together as the sermon series. So we're all going to do that at our own pace and have that be a spiritual connecting point of what is God doing as you spend time in His Word. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of ways especially look at the age and stage of your group. I've got a lot of young moms, and so I think we may connect at the pool with kids and have pizza. You know, think about who your group is and what they have capacity to do. And as a leader, how can we meet them where they are? How can we come alongside and serve them and spend time with them? Whatever season. I know some groups can get away because their kids are older. Some groups will read a book together in the summer. So there's a lot of things to do to just stay connected in a informal way, so that coming back in the fall is not this whole restart, but it's growing deeper in that relationship that continued throughout the summer.
Well, this is great stuff about how to stay connected with people in your group throughout the summer, and then also just how to be intentional with people and what conversations to have with the current people in your group about whether they're going to join the group or do something else for the next year. I love what Kelly said at the beginning. We really are hoping to see, go through a process, see what God wants for our group, not what we want. And so we just want to stay in tune with that. So thanks for joining us for this podcast. Next time, we're going to talk about what it looks like to for people to join your group who are new, and what that process looks like. So we'll see you next time.